Hello and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download them from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of our church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
Let's just read Ephesians chapter 1. It goes like this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faith-filled in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. The one is obviously Jesus, Jesus who he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times we have will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. God's ultimate aim is to solve the sin and the mess and bring it all together and fix it all. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with his purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. Having heard it and having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. And then Paul kind of gets carried away. For those of you who know the writings of Paul, Paul gets carried away when he thinks about Jesus, right? He kind of gets carried away. And this is what he does yet again. It says, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rulers and authorities and powers and dominions and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now, I don't know how you read the Bible. Some of you, I suspect, love reading verse by verse. And you look at a verse and you study it and you draw out every ounce of gold in that verse. I'm not very good at doing that. Basically, I get bored. It's like, yeah, done the verse, done the words, I'm now through. I like reading passages and trying to put them together and get excited about the message that the writer's trying to get in either a whole chapter or even a whole book. I like reading whole books and trying to think, well, what's the author trying to, what are the big things the author's trying to hit home in this? And that's what I want to do with this chapter. I think this chapter is significant for a lot of you. Significant for a lot of you. And I say this so often, but I mean it. Take notes. Now, there's going to be a diagram. So you need a whole page in your notes for the diagram. And then you need to start the diagram, which is going to come up on slides, and then you need to make notes on the next page. Is that all right? If you're using your phone, I have no idea what that means. Do whatever you have to. Presume you can talk to Dave after. I don't know how you do that. But anyway, just do that, right? But I love this. Now, what? Oh, I could take a photo. Yeah, that's a good idea. You can take a photo when it's complete. good. So Paul begins with this. He says, I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, blah, 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 to the saints, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Then he says in verse 3, he says, praise be to the God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in Christ. He begins with this, every Christian's blessed. Everybody's like, if you're a Christian, you're blessed. And I just want to say, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're blessed. It's just a fact. It's a fact. You can believe it or not believe it, but you are blessed because you are a child of the King. And I want to encourage you, if you're a Christian, to walk in that and believe that you are blessed every day of the week. You see, I think for most of us, it's easier to feel blessed on a Sunday if we had a good time in church. Maybe on a Friday night after work's finished. Or maybe Saturday morning when everything's good. But we're called to know we're blessed on a Monday morning, a Tuesday morning, a Wednesday morning, a Thursday morning, and a Friday morning. Theologians talk about this kind of idea that we are blessed as a position. It's not something that we go in and out of. We're just blessed. We're in position of being blessed all of our lives. We just are. And I want you to think and remember that we are blessed. And hopefully the first slide is coming up and it's going to keep up with me. Oh, there we go. Is that big enough? Well, it'd be better than a whiteboard. Good, isn't it? Then Paul goes on and he talks about being chosen, talks about being predestined in verses 4-6. In verse 5b, he says this, that we've been adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus in accordance with his pleasure and will. And what Paul's trying to say through this is God's in charge. God is in charge. God has a plan. He's in charge. He's sovereign. He rules, basically. He decides. He has a plan and it will be fulfilled. And it's according to his pleasure and his will. He'll do it in his own time when he wants to, because it's his plan and he will do it. Now, fortunately, the Bible says it involves us. Fortunately, because he loves us. He wants us, adopt us as his sons. Sons is important for New Testament writing. Sons means that if you're adopted, you get the full rights of inheritance. And whether you're a girl or a boy, as far as the Bible's concerned, you're a son. And that's important. Because if you're not a son, you don't receive the full inheritance. So that's why he talks about sons. Sons is important. Because in these days, the girls didn't get any inheritance. It was only the boys. And so they always use the word son. Why? Because if you're a Christian, you're counted in the inheritance. You're a son. And he has this plan to make us holy and blameless. And because God has a plan and he's sovereign, it will happen. And just listen to this phrase, he freely gives it to us who are in the one. He says there, doesn't he? He has freely given it to us in the one he loves, in verse 6. So as God loves Jesus, God loves us because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. So as we're in Jesus, we are loved. It's why Jesus is the only way to the Father. Because God loves us because of what Jesus has done, and his love goes through Jesus and into our lives. We're no longer condemned because of what Jesus has done on the cross, right? But God is in charge. And if you're a Christian, this should give you great confidence. Because if God says something's going to happen, guess what? It's going to happen, right? If God says it's going to happen in your life, it's going to happen. It doesn't matter what you feel like, whether you're having a good day or a bad day, it's going to happen. You know, if God says you're going to have eternal life, it's yours. It's done. It doesn't matter what happens. God's plan. Because why? Because he's in charge. He's sovereign. He's Lord. When God says he's going to be with you, he's going to be with you. It's not dependent on you or circumstances. It depends on God's rule. Because he's sovereign, he'll always be there. And Joe last week talked about lots of promises that God gives us. You see, as human beings, we let people down. I'm a good father, I think, most of the time. You not think so, Jonathan? You say yes, that's the right answer. Yes, thank you. And I'm almost perfect, right? I remember, you know. That's not even remotely true. Anyway, I was thinking about this afternoon as I was finishing this message. And I was thinking of all the times I picked Jonathan up at the bus stop. You see, Jonathan went to school for 7 years. That's a lot of bus stops, right? A lot. That's a lot of bus stops. And I was thinking about this and thinking, you know, a perfect father would have nailed every bus stop every time. No, I'm not perfect, so anyway. But I want to say in my defense, I only forgot him twice. That's not bad, is it? Was it more than twice? I can only remember three. That's two, sorry. I can only remember two. But the thing is, if we look at God through a human experience, we'll fall short of actually realizing who God is. And I just want to say, don't think of God through a human experience, either through your father or your mother or somebody you trust or anybody. Think of God as separate, another. He's sovereign. His word goes. His word is certain and sure. 100%. If God was Jonathan's father, he would have nailed. Not only that, Jonathan, he would have known what time the bus was going to arrive, which would have saved a lot of arguments between us. I won't tell you anything more. Yeah, no. We bought him. Anyway, yes. Paul then goes on to talk in verses 7 to 10 that he is for us all. He's for us. God is in charge, but he's also for us. It talks in verse 7 about the fact he's redeemed us, that he came to save us from our, well, basically from ourselves. Save us from ourselves. Saving us from the consequence of our sin and our rebellion against God. Saving against death. He came to save us. But he also came to forgive our sins, which I think is cool. Not only forgive them, but as it were, make us holy and blameless again. You see, when you come to Jesus, he doesn't just forgive you, he cleans you. It's why we have access to the throne room. And I never get bored about reminding myself that I am so pure and holy, I can walk with confidence into God's throne room. I'm going to kneel at his throne because he's awesome and he's still scary. But I don't need to worry about me because Jesus has utterly paid the price. I am perfectly holy. And I'm always perfectly holy in God's sight. It doesn't matter what I've just done. I am perfectly. Why? Because God, as it were, sees me through Jesus. I like that. And when I say to you, I'm holy and perfect, it's because of Jesus, not because of me. But it is. And he came to make us, to forgive our sins, to make us holy. But also, it says in verse 7 and 8, that the riches of God's grace is lavished on us. I love the word lavished. Your translations might have a different word there, but lavished. He pours his blessing on you. He lavishes his grace, his favor into your life. Not because you deserve it, but because he wants to lavish it. He wants to pour it into your life. And he does it with wisdom. God knows when to give you stuff, how to give you stuff, how much to give you stuff, be it wisdom or insight, possessions or relationships. He knows because he does it with wisdom. And he does it with understanding because he knows you. He knows you intimately. And then verse 9 says he's for us and he reveals his plans to us. He does it with wisdom and understanding, so he gives us as much as we need to know when we need to know, so it's not too scary. You do know if God revealed your entire rest of your life to you, you'd be scared stiff, right? Yeah, all of us. We get to know about how we're going to die. I don't about you. I don't want to know. I'll quite happily wait for that piece of knowledge and understanding until I get there. But lots of other very scary things that God might show us. We go like, I don't think so, God. But God would say, well, I'm sovereign, so unlucky. But so he shows us as and when is wise and good for us. Why? Because he is for us with his aim to bring all things together. Paul then goes on to say that we can all choose to be part of his family. Verse 13 and 14 says this, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having heard it, having believed, so they've heard, and then having believed in what they've heard, you are then marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. As we have heard, we respond to that by believing that he is our Savior and he is King, and then he becomes our friend. Now, the smart ones are kind of go, hold on a minute. Stop a minute. Pastor Ed, you just said that God's in control. Yeah? Right? God's in charge. How can I choose? If God's got a plan, how do I get to choose? It's one of the great misses of the Bible. God is sovereign. He has a plan. It will be fulfilled. And we get to choose. I don't have time to go into great theological argument and discussion about that. Fortunately, we have a Pastor Dave. And Dave would like to stand up. Dave would like to stand up. Dave will very happily talk to you afterwards about the intricacy of God's sovereign will and the fact that we get to choose. And bring him a coffee. They're both true. But we get to choose to be part of God's plan by hearing and then believing. Believing as in putting your faith and your trust in who God is and what he says is true, and then begin to live it out in your life. Which means, as it says in Hebrews 10, which I'm going to read out for us, this, not Hebrews 10, Romans 10. How do I put Hebrews 10? Romans 10. The writer of the Romans says this. Romans 10, verse 12. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. Same kind of idea, right? God wants to lavish things on us. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I've lost my little thing. I see. And you see, church, we can all choose. And at the end, Dave will stand up. And if you've not chosen to follow Jesus, not to just believe in him as the fact that he exists, but chosen to believe that he is your Lord and Savior, then Dave will give you a chance to respond, either for the first time or maybe for the second or third time if you've drifted away. But we also need to let people know about this. Because we can choose, but people only choose if they know. It's why, since we've got back from our sabbatical in the summer, we've been talking about inviting people. I find it quite tough to talk about my story, my testimony, or to explain to somebody about Jesus across a toffee table. Or it's tough, right? But we can all invite them to church. I mean, if you get a chance to share our story, go for it. Or explain the gospel, go for it. But it's why we have these and similar things, for us to invite people to church. And Michelle and I, Michelle's a lot better than this at me, I have to admit. But I think since Christmas, there's barely a week gone by without Michelle asking one or two people to church. And she does it quite naturally. If she's in a coffee shop, if she's somewhere, she'll just be, I think she's just got a spiritual antenna. God, if there's a chance, give me a chance. And God gives her chances over and over again. A waitress, somebody behind the bar, somebody in McDonald's, whatever it is. We're in a coffee shop last week and she ran out of these. I had to give her some of mine because I didn't run out. But it doesn't matter what you use. The idea is that we invite people so they may hear the good news. Because it's amazing news. Because God loves us. Want to lavish his blessings on us. We get to choose that. It's a choice. Then Paul goes on to say, look, there's much more to experience. Not only do you choose to follow God, but there's much more to experience. He says, verse 17 and 19, he said, I keep asking, says Paul, that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. He says, there's so much more for you to get. So much more for you to get. There's more wisdom and more revelation. More, what's wisdom? Wisdom is the quality of knowing, experiencing knowledge and having good judgment. It's wisdom. Or revelation, knowing God more. Just knowing God more, knowing Jesus more, knowing the Holy Spirit more. There's so much more for us to know about God in our lives. And Paul gets excited the fact that we can do that and he can pray for people to do that. And we need more wisdom and more revelation to live our lives in. If you have more wisdom, you will live your life better. If you have more revelation, you'll live your life better in every area of life. But then Paul says it's a praise that, you know, God will enlighten. He will throw light on that which you, in one sense, should already know, that's already in you, that's in your heart and in your mind. The hope that's in you. The hope now, today, that you're loved and precious. The hope in the future that when we die, we don't die. There is an eternal life. But more than that, that there's these riches of his glorious eternity. Is that right? Riches of his glorious inheritance. And that we can both use our inheritance today and we will have an inheritance in our tomorrows. And that we'll know more and more of God's power in our life, that nothing is impossible for life to God. God can do anything. And that should be a wow in our lives. But if you're a Christian, I just want to say, it should be an ever-increasing wow in our lives. It should be an ever-increasing. And you've noticed a little word under that. Have you noticed it? It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. And then finally, and I talked about this, I guess, he gets carried away about Jesus, which is a cool thing to get carried away. You could sum up the end of that chapter as, Jesus is awesome, signed Paul. Because Jesus is awesome. Whichever way you chop Jesus up, he's awesome. It talks about him being at God's right hand, he's far above all things, he's forever, he leads a church of which we're part of. Jesus is awesome. Which means, if we do the final one, therefore, because Jesus is awesome, everybody is blessed. Right, now that was a quick summary of the chapter. Is that good? That's a whistle-stop tour of the chapter. But actually, what it is a circle. Have you noticed that? He starts in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. So he starts with Jesus and finishes the chapter with Jesus. And I think all those six things are linked. And you've noticed, I think there's two facts, two truths, and two choices. I know that's a preacher cheating slightly for you theologians out there, but it kind of works. And I want to ask you a question, which is really where my message is getting to. You see, facts are to be enjoyed. You can't do anything about a fact, can you? It's just true. Jesus is awesome. We are blessed. The question is, are you enjoying those facts in your life or not? And for some of you who've been Christians for more than 5 minutes, you've forgotten that Jesus is awesome and you're blessed and you're not enjoying life. What can I suggest that at the end of the message and when I pray, you go, God, help me to enjoy the facts of being a Christian. Because your life will be radically changed just by enjoying that which is true in your life. I'm tired of meeting sad Christians. Can we stop being sad? We found Jesus. He's awesome. And we've got blessed lives because Jesus is awesome and God loves to pour things in our lives. There's a hurting world out there. And we have what's called Christian problems in our lives, which are no problems at all because God's in charge. Can we take our eyes off the problems, put them back on Jesus and enjoy the blessing that the awesome Jesus can give us? Is that okay? So if you came in sad tonight, I'm really, really sorry. Turn it to a smile. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And it's not your circumstances will change. They won't, necessarily. Something will change inside your heart, inside your mind. The Bible talks about we can have joy and contentment in all circumstances. And that's why. But it's not just two facts. There's two truths. Truths are to be believed in. Truths are to be believed in. You see, it's true that God is in charge. But we need to believe that and absorb that fact into our life. It's true that God is for us. They're true. And maybe for some of us in this room tonight or listening on the internet, we need to believe and actually put our faith in these things to a greater degree. It's not about, I'm not saying that you don't believe God's not in charge, or you don't believe God. I'm not saying you don't believe, but you need to put your faith in it to a greater extent. And so that God, you could, why don't you trust him more? You see, if we can, as it were, apply our faith to these truths, it will release a obedience that's free and joyful. And it will release that life that all of us want to live in. It's most people miss out the blessings of God because they don't follow what God wants them to do. It's just true. I don't want you to live like that. As your senior pastor, as your shepherd, I don't want you to live like that. I want you to live fully awesome lives. And if you will just believe that God is in charge and he knows best and he is for you, honestly, God can then pour his blessing into your life because he knows that he'll use it right. But there's also two choices. The choice to be part of his family and a choice that there is more experience, more to experience and more to live in. Part of your family is a choice. And as I said, Dave will ask you that question. Are you part of his family? Have you made Jesus your Savior, your Lord, and your friend, your Father? But also, we need to press in to the more experience, press in that there's more for us to live in and be a part of. And that's a choice. And I think some of you, maybe, you've chosen to be part of his family, but you've not chosen to press into all that God has for you. Perhaps you're scared of what that might mean, what you might discover. The glorious, what will God reveal to you if you press in, if you spend time with him? What will he show you? What will he ask you to change? But the thing is, this is what scientists would call a feedback loop. They're all related. That's why I enjoyed the passage, right? They're all related. If you think Jesus is awesome and you're blessed, you'll probably have more faith that God is in charge and that he is for you. You'll choose to be part of his family. Well, it's a dumb deal not to, right? And you'll press in more to him. But if any one of those things you either is restricted or you, if you haven't done the choices, the rest of the thing will be weaker. Does that make sense? And see, God loves you. Paul loved you when he wrote the letter. And Paul, I think, wants you to see that. It's one big joined up way of thinking. It's not separate thoughts. It's not, oh, I need to be a Christian, full stop. Or I've got to believe God's in charge, full stop. It's all of it. It's the whole thing. And I believe for some of you, the life-changing thought that you'll have tonight is you'll figure out which one of those six things you need to really focus on for the next season of your life. And it will change your life because all of them will go up in the same time. Does that make sense? I don't know which one it is for you, but I think all of us have one of them. We go, actually, that's the one that I struggle with. And if you just for a moment, just for a season, concentrate on that one and lift that up, all the others will be lifted up as well because it's all one. Does that make sense? So I just want to pray for you. And then Dave's going to come up and he'll do the choosing thing. Do you want to be part of his family? But which one would you think is your weakness this evening? Do you think Jesus is awesome? Would he get carried away like Paul does over and over again in his letters? He thinks about Jesus and his mind goes off and he just writes about Jesus. I presume he talks about Jesus and the scribe is scribbling it down and eventually the scribe says, is that not enough about Jesus? Shall we get back to the letter? And Paul goes, oh yeah, sorry about that. Yeah. Amen. Carry on. Do you realize you're blessed? Seriously. Do you realize you're blessed? Do you believe God's forgotten you, left you behind? No, we're blessed. God is in charge. If you would put God in charge in all of your Christian life, every area of your life would go up. Do you believe he's for you, that he loves you, that he wants to pour stuff in? And are you pressing in the more to experience that?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.